Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in. Every life that woe can sadden when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away. Turn our darkness into day when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. We may have unfading splendor when love shines in. And a friendship true and tender when love shines in. Where earth's victory shall be won and our life in heaven begun, there will be no need of song when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. Jesus bringt uns wahre Freude mit Liebesmacht. Wo ein Leben ist voll Leiden, es fröhlich macht. Liebe lehrt uns recht zu sehen, lässt die Traurigkeit vergehen. Und das Licht der Gnade sehen in Liebesmacht. Wenn Liebe scheint ins Herz hinein, kann ein Herz voll Freuden singen im Liebesschein. Wenn Liebe scheint ins Herz hinein, kann es anderen Freude bringen und Segen streuen.
Good morning. It's nice to see so many people here and faces that I haven't seen for a while. Welcome to all of you. Call to worship. Be still and know that I am God. O God of the still, small voice, quiet our inner spirit. Help us to focus upon you and you alone, to hear your voice within. There are so many other things demanding our attention. May your voice speak through us. In weakness, be our strength. In poverty, be our wealth. In depression, be our joy. In apathy, be our love. In mourning, be our comfort. In the face of loss, be our healing. We cannot sing love song, O Lord, unless it be your voice singing in us. Take this heart and with this mouth, make your praise and thanksgiving a reality here, now, and always. We pray this because of you and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you open your blue hymnals to number 377 to join in singing Healer of Our Every Ill? And if you're able, please stand to sing with us.
Oh,
So I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here. I know that there are guests. If anyone would like to introduce anyone, please stand up and feel free to introduce now. I know that we have a lot of family members who have joined us today on this very special Eternity Sunday, Toten Sonntag, to remember the loved ones that have passed in the past year and just in our lives in the years gone by. Children's story. Come on up, kids.
Good morning. I don't really have a story today. I was wondering if anyone had noticed anything different at the front of the church this morning. Yes?
There are 100 candles.
Yes, there are lots and lots of candles here in the front. There's some big ones up there, and then there's a whole bunch of little ones here on the side. And that's because today is when our church marks the end of one calendar year, and next Sunday will be the beginning of another church year. And what we like to do at this church is on this last Sunday of the church year, we like to remember the people that have passed away this year in our church. And you can see there are a lot of tall candles up there on the table that's very close to Miss Lucier. That means those are the people, each of those candles represent one person that has died from our church this year. And later on in church, when you guys are downstairs practicing for Christmas, people will be coming to light. People from those people's family will be coming to light each of those candles. And then afterwards, these little candles are for people that have lost somebody, but not this year. That somebody in their family has died, but maybe not this year. But we still miss them. So I think probably most of you have somebody that's already in heaven from your family, right? And just because they're in heaven, do you forget about them? No. So this is our way of our church letting everybody in this building know we remember everyone has a pain in their heart because somebody they love is not here with them anymore. Everybody does. And we love everybody. And if you tell us that you're sad and lonely, we can help you. And even if you don't feel like you want to tell us that you're sad and lonely, you can come here because we know. People come here with pain in their heart and missing someone that they love, and we want to share and help them. So I think it's a pretty special Sunday. So can we bow for prayer? Thank you, God, for this building where we can come and share our pain and happiness and gladness and sadness. Please help us as we prepare for the Christmas season downstairs with our teachers. Amen. See you guys.
So announcements, there are always many of them. The one thing I want to highlight right away is on the back page where it talks about next Sunday, December the 1st being the first Advent, of course it is also communion. It just isn't mentioned in there, but we will be having communion next Sunday. Lots of announcements. If you look just under number 3, Friendship Bible Coffee, number 4, the new calendar is available for purchase. December the 1st, Lizzie is going to come up and share an announcement with us under number 5, please.
Morning. So this next Sunday will be the first Sunday of the month, and like we did for the first Sunday of November, we will be having the children come and gather food items for Winnipeg Harvest that will go to our food bank that are brought to the pews with you. The youth and I went to Winnipeg Harvest this Wednesday, and we toured their facilities there, and we found out that about 64,000 people in Manitoba receive food assistance every month, but the food assistance that they receive only lasts for about 4 to 8 days throughout the month. It's only supplementary because they don't have the capacity to give them more. So when you bring food here, Then it's given out to the people in our neighborhood who come to our food bank, so that they get a little more to supplement the 2 to 4 days of food that they receive every month. So it does make a big difference in the lives of families in our neighborhood, and it's also just a good way to get the children involved in understanding need in our neighborhood and the spirit of giving to others. So please remember non-perishable food items. There's a list in the bulletin of what is most needed. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's always great to have the Sunday school kids come around and pick that up so that they get to see you, that they don't see every Sunday, and that they know what it's going for. Under number 6, Ehrenfest will take place December the 7th, and we invite everyone heartily to this wonderful event. Well, seniors, that is. And as many of us who are past the seniors who are still not getting a chance to sit down, maybe one of these years. Hey, Adina? One of these years. So we don't count ourselves as seniors, but please feel free to come. It's a lovely evening. Number 7, Tricia Weeb, is also still collecting. And number 8, fundraiser for Westgate Mennonite Collegiate. And lots of things, if you look under Beyond NKMC, lots of concerts, lots of things that you can enjoy during this Advent season. I'll start the sharing or prayer requests with condolences go out to Jake Cron, sons Carl, Rob, Kurt, and Andrew Cron, Renata and Bill Schultz, Walter and Terry Hildebrand, Annenford Peters, and all their families and the many friends that Jake and Rita have in this church and beyond. Rita passed away on Wednesday, November 20th, at the age of 79. And funeral arrangements now are, at least it will be this coming Friday, correct? And the memorial hymn for her will be sung next week, in case anyone wonders why we're not doing it this time. And also, her name will be listed under the passings for next year, as it was a request of Jake's. Anybody else have anything to share? We'll pass the mic around. Oh, hands are coming up. Good.
Hi, Phil Franz Workington. I know Elizabeth shared last week about our son Jacob. He had his surgery last Friday, and I guess he's a tough case, and he had to have another surgery. Oh, he had a surgery last Sunday, and he had another surgery this Friday, so 2 days ago. So he's at the Children's recovering and in dealing with a bit of pain from that, and still waiting to see if hopefully this surgery takes. So yeah, keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
Just a reminder for next Sunday that we are encouraging everyone, the regular choir and mission choir, we are singing for First Advent and the communion service. So please come join us. We will rehearse at 10:20, 10:15, 10:20. So let's just all come out and enjoy a wonderful time of singing and then sharing in the church.
This is Sarah Cowan-Holman. I just want to give a big thank you to everyone who came and enjoyed and all who helped make the Zomerbors lunch a big success. We raised a total of $1,404 that will go towards the purchase of a new, lighter rectangular tables. We couldn't do it with all of your help and support. God bless you all.
Anyone else?
Leonora Weep. There's been a lot of you in the church who have had cataract surgery done, and they all tell me it's going to do fine. Well, I'm going on Friday. Whatever is the 28th of November. And I'm having surgery done. For me, it is a very new experience. And I do ask your prayers that it'll go well. Thank you.
I'm just teasing, and now she's finally coming up.
I have nothing to share.
But your son's wedding. Oh, okay. Well, they were on a short holiday, and look, they came back with a little bit of sun. Please join me in the prayer. Our loving God, on this Eternity Sunday, we come to you with our hearts full of love and gratitude for those who were a part of our life on this earth, our loved ones who were a special gift to us, whether they were spouses, parents, children, siblings, extended family, friends, or members of our church community, colleagues, or neighbors. We grieve their passing, but we live with the eternal hope and believe they are in your loving arms in the heavenly home you have made for them. Give comfort and healing to those who mourn their passing. Give strength, compassion, and comfort to those of our loved ones who are standing near the threshold of death and their families. We give thanks for the world we live in, for all its evil, injustice, destruction, war, hate, judgment, and inequities. Please remind us we have a duty to make it a better place by living in hope and in love and demonstrating peace and understanding. Help us see the beauty of the world, the beautiful nature, good people, loving homes and families, food and clothing, and to be grateful for the privileges and the blessings we have in our country. We ask that you be with us, not just in this hour, but throughout the week, wherever we go. Let the breath of your Spirit blow through us. Let the brightness of your light shine in us and around us. Let us share your love. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. We'll do the offering.
Be my shepherd.
I'm going to take liberty and read a very short portion of a German poem, but I've also translated it to give you the gist of it in English. And this poem was given to me by Kathy Thiessen, whom we all remember. Liebet euch Lebende, die Zeit entflieht. Blumen auf dem Grabhügel kein Toter sieht. Was nutzen die Blumen den Toten? Gebettet in weicher Gruft, die Rosen, die lieblichen Boten, das Leben Schönheit und Duft. Die Schlummernden können nicht sehen, was man auf dem Grabe gesetzt. O lernet bei Zeiten verstehen, die Zeit zu erfreuen ist jetzt. ein Handschlag mit freundlichen Blicken, ein Lächeln, ein freudiges Herz. Die sind's, die erfreuen, erquicken, wie Blumen das trauernde Herz. Was hilft es dem Toten zu wissen, was sehr ihn geschätzt und geliebt? Das irdische Band ist zerrissen, die Zeit, uns zu lieben, ist jetzt. Die Blumen der Liebe und Güte, die binden zum duftigen Strauß und tragt sie mit frohem Gemüte ins tägliche Leben hinaus. Da wird manch erblichene Wange mit Tränen der Freude benetzt. Ihr Christen, o säumet nicht lange, die Zeit zu beglücken ist jetzt. Love one another while you are living, because time flies by. Flowers on the graveside are not seen by the one buried there. Don't take long to understand that life in all its beauty is here to be enjoyed now, for the time for living is now. A warm handshake, a smile, and a happy heart, that's what brings joy and renewal like the flowers to a mourning heart. What good does it do to tell our dearly departed how much they were loved and cherished? Do it now, for the earthly ties are broken. The time to love one another is now. The bouquet of love and kindness make a beautiful bouquet that together with a loving heart can be carried with us in our daily life and can turn our tears into joy. Don't delay. The time to turn tears into joy, the time to bring happiness and love into our lives, is now. As the names are being read, we would ask that you come up front and Marv will greet you and give you the candle to light your candle. And we will give opportunity later for others, but this portion is for all the members that are listed in our bulletin. The heart of grief, its most difficult challenge, is not letting go of those who have died, but instead making the transition of loving in the presence to loving in separation. Hans Rempel Sr., age 95, December 23, 1922, till December 18, 2018. Rudolf Lage, age 84, February 20th, 1934 to December 19th, 2018. Louise Peters, age 75, June 18th, 1943 to December 19th, 2018. Peter Thiessen, age 78, April 29, 1940 to December 20th, 2018. Gary Martins, age 62, June 5th, 1956 to February 28th, 2019. Jacob Dick, age 92, February 2nd, 1927 to April 18th, 2019. John Voth, age 89, December 22nd, 1929 to April 20th, 2019. Neil Casper, age 92, July 24th, 1927 to August 20th, 2019. Harry Lowen, age 77, November 15th, 1941 to October 8th, 2019. Shirley Harrison, age 86, August 31st, 1933 to November 5th, 2019. We remember those who have been taken from us through death. We named them, and we have named them, and will continue to name them in love, in sorrow, and with gratefulness for the gift of their life. And now we would invite anyone who would like to remember their loved ones to come up and light a candle. And we would ask that you come down the center, and after you've lit the candle, go back through the aisles, please. We also remember those who are still in our minds and our hearts at this time. In their living and in their dying, they have touched our lives. And we invite anyone who would like to light a candle for their loved ones to come forward now. Thank you. Loving Father, we celebrate their living and we grieve their dying. Though our grief is strong and we mourn, we shall not let the shadow of death obscure the living person who filled our lives with meaning and love. Human life is sacred in its beginning, in its span of years, and its ending is sacred too. With a longing for the coming of God's kingdom, we pray. Amen.
Erzählte mir froh von dem Himmel, von der sonnigen Stadt hoch da droben, wo die Seligen singen und loben. Und einmal, bald einmal bin ich da. Halleluja, ganz laut will ich singen. Halleluja, ich wandle zum Himmel. In dem Herzen die Saiten erklingen, und ich weiß, bald ja, bald bin ich da. Und ich hört von der Stadt ohne Sorgen, ohne Leiden und Not, ohne Tränen, und dahin alle Herzen sich sehnen. Und einmal, bald einmal bin ich da. Halleluja, da freuen sich alle. Alle Zweifel sind gänzlich verschwunden. Und wir jubeln im himmlischen Saale. Oh mein Freund, bald ja, bald bin ich da. Und vom Glanze der goldenen Kronen, man erzählt uns von schneeweißen Kleidern, womit Gott uns will alle belohnen. Und einmal, bald einmal bin ich da. Halleluja, im Geist will ich singen. Ich kann hören der Engel Gesänge, Jubelklänge dem Herzen entspringen, denn ich weiß, bald ja, bald bin ich da.
And very briefly in English, this song was specifically to deal with how happy we are that we know that there is a heaven, that there is this beautiful home waiting for us, and that this is a place that we all long to get to, and we will have no pain, no sorrows, no worries when we reach that heavenly shore. Our scripture reading this morning is John 6, 1 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely "This is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Well, it's I think, important and significant to share together on this day to remember those who are grieving, who continue to feel the loss that has occurred in the past year or in previous years. And it's good for us to think about how Scripture might inform us as we consider that. So the sermon will relate to what we're doing here today. You might have wondered as we read the text, the story that you know so well. But we'll try to bring that together for you and make that clear. Let's say a word of prayer. Our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And so I want to start by inviting you to attempt to place yourself in the scene on the day that Jesus fed a whole lot of people in a miraculous way, as we just read in the Gospel of John. Imagine with me that you are one of the regular followers of Jesus. Along with the 12 people that Jesus chose as his closest disciples, we have been roaming Palestine with Jesus. We have discovered that amazing things happen while we walk the dusty roads of Palestine with him. We have learned that his words warm our hearts and challenge our being. Some of us are like the disciple Thomas. While experiencing the things of which we have spoken, we remain a little skeptical, doubting whether this is the real thing. Some of us are more like the disciple Peter. We are just completely enthused about Jesus, and we'll jump into action suggested by Jesus without any thought about what it means for us and without recognizing what the action might cost us. Others of us are like the disciple John. We know we love Jesus, and we feel his love for us very keenly. We're learning from Jesus quietly, and we're beginning to put his teachings into practice. And still others of us perhaps are a little more like Judas, following along, appearing to be part of the group, but with suspect motives. We're all different in our level of commitment to the new ideas that Jesus is planting in our hearts and minds, but we're all engaging with Jesus day after day. So in this diversity, we have walked with Jesus. On this bright, sunny Sunday, we have arrived with him on the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a great day for a picnic. But then it's also a great day to just forget about everything else and to listen to Jesus while lolling on the grass overlooking the sea. The latter is what we're doing when along comes supper time and we remember the former. It would be a great day for a picnic if we had remembered to bring anything for a picnic. As it is, we and thousands of others are hungry. The thousands of others have arrived in search of Jesus, and they haven't thought about food either. Nobody has remembered to bring along the supplies for a picnic. It's a great thing to be so excited about something that we forget to worry about food. Ah, but it has its limitations. In any case, whether it's great or not that we have been so excited about hearing Jesus that we have forgotten about food, it now becomes real that food is needed. Neither we nor these thousands of people have food, and we're feeling very hungry. Jesus asks his disciples where they're going to get the food to feed all these people. Apparently, he feels responsible. Philip may be one of those kinds of people who get very grouchy when there's a lack of food, and he quickly sizes up the reality that the amount of money required to feed all these people is just way too much to come up with. I don't know how close the nearest convenience store is anyway, but he sees the money as the problem. Now, and we can imagine that Judas might be nodding his head very quickly in agreement too. That's just too much money. We can't come up with it. And then Andrew, Peter's brother, comes up with an idea. He has spotted a boy who has brought his picnic lunch. He appears to be the only person in this huge crowd who has brought lunch. Imagine how many mothers have told their children to remember to bring food when they go, because they're going to want it later. And now all these mothers have forgotten too. This boy, however, has listened to his mother and has brought food. Having spotted this boy, Andrew notes aloud that there is this boy who has 2 fish and 5 small loaves of bread. He seems to be suggesting that this amount of food might be shared with the crowd. It's just like those brothers, Peter and Andrew, to jump in with ideas that make no sense. We might all get, like, what, 1 calorie of nutrition out of this when we need something more like 1,000 calories? It's completely illogical. And then Jesus instructs his disciples to get all of us and all the rest of these thousands to sit down. And dutifully, the people do just that. Jesus has by now taken possession of the boy's little lunch. We didn't notice how that happened, but we imagine that the boy gave it to Jesus gladly. Jesus prays a prayer of gratitude for the food. He might even say something along the lines of thanking God for the bounty that we have received, that God has provided, and we're looking at that and we're thinking, the bounty? Really? It doesn't look like bountiful food to us. Jesus breaks the bread and the fish and starts to pass it around. People take what they want for eating and they pass it on. This keeps on going until every person in this crowd of thousands has eaten all that they want. Jesus instructs his disciples to gather up the leftovers. When they do, they manage to fill 12 baskets with the food that is left over. It is done, and we are left to reflect on the meaning of what we have witnessed. Perhaps you've been able to imagine what that day might have felt like if you were one of the people who were traversing Palestine with Jesus. Our task now is to think about what features of that story speak to us today. So our first reflection is that God is compassionate. We get to that understanding when we believe that in Jesus we see most clearly what God is like. We witness Jesus in this story, observe what he did, and we say that we see what God is like in this story. What we see quite clearly is compassion. There is nothing in this story that suggests that Jesus was peeved at all these people who had not thought through their day well enough. In this event, Jesus saw the need of the people and responded with generosity. He demonstrated no frustration that the people had not taken care of their own needs or planned ahead. He gave no indication that he felt put out because he had to care for all these people. He simply worked with the resources that were present and provided food for all the people. That demonstrates that he truly cared about all of those people. I think we could characterize this as compassion. In fact, when Matthew tells the story in his gospel, he connects it to a time when he describes Jesus as having compassion for a large crowd of people who came to him with their various maladies, and he healed their illnesses. The recognition of hunger and the feeding followed. That's in Matthew's gospel. And he named it as compassion. So Jesus demonstrated that God cares about the hard times human beings experience in life. God is a God of compassion. On a Sunday, when we hold the memories of loved ones who have died closely in our hearts, we can rest assured that God knows and understands our grief and responds to our grief with great compassion. Our second reflection, when we think about what features of the story speak to us today, is that God is generous. We note that especially in the aftermath of the feeding. Providing enough food so that all those thousands of people could eat was already an act of generosity, but the aftermath speaks even more loudly of generosity. When those people had all eaten, there were still leftovers. Those leftovers are significant. If Jesus If Jesus feeding the 5,000 demonstrated that God can provide what we need, the leftovers demonstrate that when God provides, there is plenty. There is enough to go around. They imply that God doesn't give reservedly. That understanding reflects the teaching of Scripture. Remember Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 7, that God responds to the needs of his people, and that if we as humans are able to give good gifts to our children, how much more God will give good gifts to us when we ask him. That's in Matthew 7, verse 11. Remember James writing that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, because God is a God who gives generously to all. James chapter 1, verse 5. Remember the writer of the 84th Psalm, who wrote, "The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Verse 11. The psalmist testified to his experience and belief that God is generous. And finally, remember Paul's great quote in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" When God provides, there is plenty enough for all. Can that be true? Would those in this world who struggle to find enough food to eat from one day to another agree that God gives them plenty enough? Would those who suffer persecution from government authorities because of their faith in Jesus and who cry out to God for help and protection say that God gives them plenty enough? Would those whose health is compromised and who are unable to live with the quality of life most of us enjoy say that God gives them plenty enough? Would the person who has experienced the death of a spouse or parent or sibling after a lifetime of loving relationship say that God has given him or her enough? In those questions lies one of our greatest struggles. Why do we go through these very difficult times when we understand that God has power, and that God loves, and that God gives, and he's eager to give what we need? And you know that our attempts to answer that question leave us invariably uncertain and continuing to question. But I would say this. I would say that when I have walked through the most difficult experiences of my life, I have found that God has given me enough to get through what that experience has brought to me. I would also say that when I have had contact with people throughout my pastoral ministry who have lived through very trying situations, I have found that they usually confirm that God has provided what was needed. No, the situations didn't all turn out well and right, but God provided what was needed. God gave them enough strength. God gave them enough endurance. God gave them enough grace. God gave enough. What was received testified of the generosity of God. On a Sunday, when we hold the memories of loved ones who have died closely in our hearts, we can rest assured that God responds with compassion for us, and that his compassion doesn't come with limits. He doesn't grow tired of granting that compassion. His generosity ensures that there is enough compassion. Now, what do we do with that? When we think of the gifts of God, the overwhelming generosity of God's compassion, how do we respond? And so that would be our third area of reflection. It feels to me like it's obvious that we would respond to God in gratitude for this compassion and generosity. It feels like it's obvious that we would spend time communicating to God the nature of our grief and distress so that we would sense God's compassionate response. It feels like it's obvious that we would think about responding to other people in kind. That is, that we would extend this compassion to others around us. I believe that those are all significant ways to respond to these thoughts about God. Now, interestingly, Jesus had something of a different nature to say to people after the event we have witnessed today. The way that John tells the story, during the evening and night after Jesus fed those people, he crossed the Sea of Galilee. The crowd evidently did not notice this until the next morning, and then they chased after Jesus. Eventually, they found him on the other side of the lake. And Jesus said to them there, "I tell you the truth, you who are looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And so Jesus called for a response to this event that makes some sense for us on this day too. Some of those phrases relate well to our considerations today, remembering people, thinking about eternity. Just as the crowd of people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee remembered God's compassionate and generous provision on that day, we have remembered today God's compassionate and generous response to the grief and the distress we experience in life. Just like the people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, we're invited to adopt a perspective that would lead to eternal life generously given by God, so we are invited to choose to follow Jesus, adopting a perspective for life that endures to eternal life, as Jesus said. I believe that's another important reflection for us on this occasion today. God has demonstrated in the life and acts of Jesus that God gives enough. Today we grab hold of that truth. We find strength and courage to carry on in spite of grief and distress in the compassion and generosity of God. And we consider the reminder of Jesus that God invites us to respond to his compassion and generosity with a view to what is eternally important. Join me in prayer. Our gracious, generous, and compassionate God, we have thought about those traits today in relation to this day when we think about loved ones who have died over the last year. We're grateful for what you give us, the ability you give us to carry on. And we're grateful also for the reminder to choose to turn toward you in response. Grant us the wisdom to see your presence and to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often fall. Take it to the Lord in prayer. arms he'll take and shield me. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the final prayer of blessing, and if that works for you, and then to remain standing for the singing of the final song. And we pray, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
And in your brown hymnal, if you would open it to number 543, and we'll sing verse 1 and 4 only, just 1 and 4.
Thank you.